Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And the first of those instances was the president's ordering his then White House counsel, Don McGahn, to fire the special counsel, rather to have the special counsel fired in order to thwart the investigation of the president, correct?
That is correct.
And the second was the president ordering Mr. McGahn to create a false written record, denying that the president had ordered him to have Mr. Mueller.
This is the Tom Hartman program.
And you also point to...
And happy impeachment day. Right now, just to bring you up to date, the four witnesses who are all law experts and law professors, Michael Gerhardt, Pamela Karlan, Noah Feldman, and Jonathan Turley, they have all testified before the House Judiciary Committee about what the founders thought was an impeachable offense. Jonathan Turley was the one witness that was requested by the Republicans. And he essentially said, it's okay to impeach a president, and, you know, this guy may have committed crimes or may not, but you guys need to do a little longer, deeper dig and a longer dive into this thing before you come to conclusions. At least that was my understanding of the essence of what he said. Right now, Norman Eisen, who is the attorney for the Democrats, is questioning the law professors. He pretty much has not gone to Jonathan Turley. And the star of this thing is Pamela Karlan, this woman who just passionately spoke out, said Thanksgiving she ordered a turkey that was pre-cooked so that she could read all the reports, you know, all the testimony of the people who testified before the House Intelligence Committee. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the hearings right now, where Norman Eisen, the lawyer for the Democrats, he has 45 minutes to question these witnesses. And then the lawyer for the Republicans presumably will have 45 minutes to question the witnesses. Just one other note, early on, when the thing was getting started, the Republicans tried their old tricks, which is try to make the thing so boring that people will turn it off and go listen to music or something. You know, demanding roll call votes. You'll recall Adam Schiff wouldn't go along with that. Chairman Nadler allowed it twice, which I thought was a big mistake, but what the hell. But anyhow, to the hearings. This is fascinating stuff.
Thus may be excluded from activities of democratic self-government. And the person who wrote those words is now Justice Brett Kavanaugh in upholding the constitutionality of a federal statute that denies foreign citizens the right to participate in our elections by spending money on electioneering or by giving money to PACs. They have long been forbidden to give contributions to candidates. And the reason for that is because that denies us our right to self-government. And then Judge, now Justice Brett Kavanaugh, was so correct in seeing this that the Supreme Court, which, as you know, has taken campaign finance case after campaign finance case to talk about the First Amendment, summarily affirmed here. That is, they didn't even need to hear argument to know that it's constitutional to keep foreigners out of our election process.
Professor Feldman, you were somewhat of an impeachment skeptic at the time of the release of the Mueller report, were you not?
I was.
What's changed for you, sir?
What changed for me was the revelation of the July 25th call and then the evidence that emerged subsequently of the President of the United States, in a format where he was heard by others and now known to the whole public, openly abused his office by seeking a personal advantage in order to get himself reelected an act against the national security of the United States. And that is precisely the situation that the framers anticipated. It's very unusual for the framers' predictions to come true that precisely. And when they do, we have to ask ourselves, someday we will no longer be alive and we'll go wherever it is we go, the good place or the other place. And, you know, we may meet there, Madison and Hamilton, and they will ask us, when the President of the United States acted to corrupt the structure of the Republic, what did you do? And our answer to that question must be that we followed the guidance of the framers, and it must be that if the evidence supports that conclusion, that the House of Representatives moves to impeach him.
Thank you. I yield my time back to the chairman.
And my time has expired. I yield back. Before we recognize...
So now we're going to go to Doug Collins. Who's the ranking member? Doug Collins, by the way, Trump wants to appoint him the next senator from Georgia. And the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, who stole the election from Stacey Abrams, he wants to appoint a Georgia billionaire who is a big donor to his campaign. And so Doug Collins is auditioning here to try to get Donald Trump to put enormous pressure on Brian Kemp to put him in the Senate. So this could get interesting.
At this time, the committee will stand in a short recess.
Okay, they're taking a recess. So, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think you've seen. I'll share mine with you. I'm particularly curious what you think Jonathan Turley said, because I thought he did a masterful job of just kind of dancing around the edges of this thing. I'm not sure he did Trump any favors, but, you know, the Republicans wanted him there. But the other three witnesses were just outspoken that, you know, the founders, the framers, the founders, of course, the people who signed the Declaration of Independence and fought the Revolutionary War, the framers, some of the same people, but also it was nearly a generation later, 16, 18 years later, whatever it was, who framed the Constitution. Well, let's see, 1776, 1887, 11 years later, not quite a generation. The framers were unanimous, and this was one of the things that was pointed out by one of the law professors early on, was that there were actually, in July of 1787, I think it was July 20th of 1787, you know, it's weird because I keep these piles of paper around here that I've used on the air, and I threw this away yesterday, and I shouldn't have. I actually had printed out from Madison's notes on the convention the entire transcript from that day about impeachment, and I had highlighted it. You know, we published it on Alternet and Raw Story back, you know, a month or two ago. And I'd highlighted, you know, what some of them said, and I don't have it to quote verbatim to you, but they were quoted verbatim by a number of these law professors. And essentially, when the debate was happening, this was in Philadelphia in the summer of 1787, when the Constitution was being written. And at that time, as Professor Pamela Carlin pointed out later, there were no laws against bribery in the United States. In fact, the laws against the federal law against bribery that we have right now, there were state laws against bribery, but the federal law against bribery that we have, or, you know, any federal law against bribery, didn't come until almost 60 years after the founding of our republic. We didn't start out with a law against bribery. So where did this, you know, treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors come from? It was a phrase that was in British law in like the 1400s. I mean, it went back to medieval times. In fact, probably before that. She simply said medieval times. I shouldn't specify a date. And high crimes and misdemeanors were understood to be basically what is sometimes referred to as maladministration. In other words, not doing your job. You'll recall the president, you know, the Article 2 of the Constitution requires that when the president is sworn in, he will take an oath to faithfully execute the office of President of the United States, to execute the laws of the United States. Because Congress makes the laws, the Supreme Court adjudicates the laws, but the executive branch with the Department of Justice and all that stuff, all the police agencies and everything, they're the ones who actually execute the laws. They're the ones who say, okay, you know, you broke the law, or at least we think you broke the law. It's up to the courts to decide whether you actually did. So when they were talking about bribery in Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution, which is where the impeachment clause resides, when they were talking about bribery, they were talking about the classic understanding of bribery, which is accepting something of personal value in exchange for your professional duties. Whether you're bribing the meter reader to change the numbers so that your electric bill goes down, or whether you're bribing a police officer so that you don't have to pay a ticket, or whether you're bribing a politician so that they'll pass some legislation. Now, the Supreme Court legalized bribing politicians in 1976 by billionaires and in 1978 by corporations. But with that single exception, bribery is not considered First Amendment activity. It's not part of your free speech portfolio. Bribery is a crime. And like she said, when they said treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors, they were not referring to federal law. There were no federal laws at that time. Congress had not met and passed a single law. They were referring to the classic understanding of those things. And I think it's very, very clear that what the Republicans have done, or what Donald Trump has done, and the Republicans are vigorously trying to defend here, is bribery and extortion, bribery under threat of violence. Your people will die in Ukraine if you don't give us the public statement of an investigation. So, this is pretty serious stuff. It's pretty amazing.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Noah Feldman, Pamela Carlin, Michael Gephardt, and of course, Jonathan Turley, a regular in Fox News, by the way. Let's see here. It's interesting. It seems like most of our calls are skeptics. Bonnie in Newport Beach, California, watching us on Free Speech TV. Hey, Bonnie, your thoughts?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm just watching the whole thing unfold. I watched the proceedings and didn't find any evidence of any kind of quid pro quo. I didn't see anything that Trump has done wrong.
Really?
No, absolutely not. As Sondland said, he wanted absolutely nothing.
He wanted Ukraine. He wanted the president of Ukraine to.
No. There was no Ukraine mentioned. There was no. Biden was not mentioned in that call.
Read
it
the
was
transcript.
CrowdStrike.
No, he said. No, Bonnie, honest to God, read the transcript. He said Biden and his son.
I read it over and over. That's why the impeachment is falling apart.
Bonnie,
and this is why the Democrats.
The transcript in the transcript. He says Biden and his son in the transcript that Trump keeps telling people to read.
And I praise Trump if that was really what he said, but it wasn't. But I praise him for doing that because Biden did a quid pro quo. He blackmailed Ukraine to fire the prosecutor, which was completely inappropriate.
On behalf of the International Monetary Fund. Oh, my God. I can't believe this. Bonnie, you must be a Fox TV viewer.
But see, this is why you're losing. The impeachment.
Who's losing?
Are proving that.
This is why who is losing?
Democrats. You and also you have Biden is probably going to be the candidate for the Democratic Party. Did you hear him yesterday or the day before? I love it when little children sit on my lap and touch my legs and feel my hair.
Okay, Bonnie, thanks a lot for the call. Fascinating. Richard in Walton, West Virginia. You want to agree with our previous caller?
Well, not exactly. I'm 77 years old and I'm still working in a fast food restaurant. So I consider myself working class. And as far as I'm concerned, Biden, the Clintons, Pelosi, they could care less about the working class. And so I'm going
then
to.
Then why do they keep trying to pass legislation to raise your wages, Richard?
Sanders,
Richard?
Or I'm going to vote for Elizabeth Warren or Tulsi Gabbard, or I'm going to vote Green. But, all this reestablishment, Democrats, the Hillary Clinton crowd, I could care less.
Yeah, Richard, if you vote Green, you're voting for Donald Trump. I mean, the Green Party does. You don't care if Trump is our president for 4 more years?
I could care less whether it's Trump or Biden.
Okay, then, Richard, you lose your right to have an opinion. I'm sorry, I'm taking you off. I don't think that Joe Biden is the strongest candidate, and I think that this smear campaign by Trump actually has harmed him. I think that the lies that Trump is putting on Facebook, specifically that when Biden was trying to get the corrupt prosecutor of Ukraine fired, that it had anything to do with his son. It didn't. It literally did not. And that's established. That's an established fact. You probably won't hear it on Fox News, but it's an established fact. But, wow, I'm just astonished by what I'm hearing. And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Fascinating. I had a couple of calls during the break where people are saying, you Democrats are all going to lose, and I don't care if Trump gets another term. And, you know, Joe Biden was demanding a quid pro quo when he got the corrupt Ukrainian prosecutor fired. It actually had that, if you go back and look at the actual record, I realize what they're saying over on Fox News. It's a lie. I agree that Biden's son should not have been on the board of Burisma. Let's just stipulate that. And that it looks bad. I mean, there's just terrible optics. But the simple fact of the matter is that the International Monetary Fund called for the firing of the prosecutor. The European Union called for the firing of the prosecutor because the guy wasn't a prosecutor. He was a shill for the oligarchs. He was corrupt. And the United States government, you know, President Obama publicly called for the firing of the prosecutor. And, you know, Biden was the guy who made that happen. Now, you can argue he shouldn't have done that when his son was working for Burisma. I would agree with that argument. So anyway, Howard, Muncie, Indiana. What do you think, Howard?
The observation I make from watching the hearings, if I was the Democrats, the Judiciary Committee, I think the last people I would want to show publicly or how to believe would be four professors from elitist, I think, left-wing universities. Plus the counsel they have, to me, all in a group, what they're saying and the questions he asked, they're coming across kind of snobbish. And I think it's turning off a lot of the public, my opinion.
Okay. So you think that doing a deep dive into history and recalling what the founders of this country, the framers of the Constitution, said about bribery and high crimes and misdemeanors and impeachment is snobbish and elitist?
Well, no. The way they're acting is. The way they're acting and...
Well, they're acting the like council, professors.
No, the council shut off that one guy when he's going to make a point. He says, no, that's all I want to hear. And then the other three people that agreed with him said, keep on talking. Keep on talking. Go ahead.
And, well, you're going to see the exact opposite in just a few minutes here, Howard.
That's how they came across.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying. And it's the job of the Democrats' counsel to try to make the case for impeachment. So if he's interviewing a witness and the witness starts trying to make a case against impeachment, it's his job to basically derail that. And you're going to see the exact opposite thing happen when Doug Collins calls the counsel for the Republicans on there. And he's going to be asking probably pretty much exclusively Jonathan Turley questions. And if any of the others try to get in on the act, he's probably going to try and shut them down.
Okay.
I mean, what we're seeing here, tragically, is a fairly partisan farce.
I understand that.
Farce is the wrong word.
I'll give you my take on the Republicans, how they're asking the questions, again, the answers. I'll give you my take then on what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Again, just from the
Thanks a lot, Howard. And one of the points that I want to make, you know, I mentioned this, I think it deserves mentioning again. In fact, I wrote an op-ed about it that you can find over at Truth Dig right now, is that Nixon, there were fewer than 30 Republicans who voted not to investigate Nixon on the impeachment. The vast majority of the Republicans voted to investigate him. There was only one senator who voted not to investigate him, and I think there was like 20-some-odd in the House. All of the Republicans are standing with Trump on this. And yet Trump is clearly guilty of far greater crimes than what Nixon did. So what's the difference? The difference is that Nixon was impeached in 1974. In 1976 and 78, the Supreme Court said it is legal, it's First Amendment protected free speech, for billionaires and corporations to own politicians. And I'm telling you, until the oligarchs, the American oligarchs, the billionaires, tell them it's okay, the Republicans are not going to abandon Donald Trump. They are going to stand by their man because their man is giving the tax breaks to the billionaires. He's deregulating, you know, he's making the air dirtier, the water dirtier, deregulating industry, putting more poison into our environment, denying climate change on behalf of the fossil fuel industry. So as long as the oligarchs continue to support him, they will continue to support him because the oligarchs own these Republicans.
Hiring is challenging, and it used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. In fact, go to ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you cannot miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, listeners here can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Would you agree that a full and fair adversary system in which each side gets to present its own evidence and witnesses is essential to the search for truth?
It is, and the interesting thing is on the English impeachment model that was rejected by the framers. They took the language, but they actually rejected the model of the impeachment from England, particularly in terms of Hastings. But even in England, it was a robust adversarial process. If you want to see adversarial work, take a look at what Edmund Burke did to Warren Hastings. I mean, he was on him like ugly on moose for the entire trial.
And as you know, in the minority views in the Clinton impeachment report, the House Democrats wrote the following. We believe it is incumbent upon the committee to provide these basic protections. As Representative Barbara Jordan observed during the Watergate inquiry, impeachment not only mandates due process, but due process quadrupled. The same minority views also support the right to cross-examination in a variety of contexts in the Clinton example. Now, Professor Turley, you describe how Monica Lewinsky wasn't allowed to be called as a witness in the Senate impeachment trial. And after her original testimony, she revealed how she had been told to lie about her relationship with President Clinton by his close associates. It's a cautionary tale about the dangers of denying key witnesses. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, the only reason I mentioned that is that was in the portion of my testimony dealing with how you structure these impeachments. What happened during the Clinton impeachment, and it came up during
Turley was a big advocate of impeaching Clinton at the time, by the way, just FYI.
Was a question of how much the House had to do in terms of Clinton impeachment, because you had this robust record created by the independent counsel, and they had a lot of testimony, videotapes, et cetera. So the House basically incorporated that, and the assumption was that those witnesses would be called at the Senate. But there was a failure at the Senate. The rules that were applied, in my view, were not fair. They restricted witnesses to only 3. And that's why I brought up the Lewinsky matter. About a year ago, Monica Lewinsky revealed that she had been told that if she signed that affidavit that we now know is untrue, that she would not be called as a witness. If you had actually called live witnesses, that type of information would have been part of the record.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
The gentleman yields back. I note that this is the moment in which the White House would have had an opportunity to question the witnesses, but they declined our invitation. So we will now proceed to questions under the 5-minute rule. I yield myself 5 minutes for the purpose of questioning the witnesses. Professor Feldman, would you respond to Professor Turley's comments about bribery, especially about the relevance of the elements of criminal bribery?
Yes. Bribery had a clear meaning to the framers. It was when the president, using the power of his office, solicits or receives something of personal value from someone affected by his official powers. And I want to be very clear. The Constitution is law. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So, of course, Professor Turley is right. You wouldn't want to impeach someone who didn't violate the law. But the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, specifies bribery as a ground of impeachment, as it specifies other high crimes and misdemeanors. Bribery had a clear meaning. If the House believes that the president solicited something of value in the form of investigations or an announcement of investigations, and that he did so corruptly for personal gain, then that would constitute bribery under the meaning of the Constitution. And it would not be lawless. It would be bribery under the law.
So the Supreme Court case in McDonald interpreting the federal bribery statute and other decisions interpreting the statutes would not be relevant.
The Constitution is the supreme law, and the Constitution specifies what
McDonnell was the recent case of Bob McDonnell, the former Republican governor of Virginia, who'd taken over $100,000 in bribes in exchange for endorsing the product of a guy who was a big campaign donor. And he was convicted in Virginia court, but the Supreme Court overturned it, saying it's okay for companies to bribe politicians.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm not sure what that has to do with presidents bribing foreign governments, but I guess it's established a new standard. The bribery is more or less okay as long as it has to do with politics. So, welcome back. Jonathan Turley, who has kind of a side gig as a commentator over on Fox News and has for years, who aggressively argued in favor of impeaching Bill Clinton back in 1998 or 1999, whatever year it was he got impeached, and who also represented the House Republicans in one of their lawsuits to overturn the Affordable Care Act. You know, Jonathan Turley sounds like this very nice, reasonable guy, and he's got these little aphorisms like, you know, ugly as moose. And, he's a right-wing crank, in my opinion. So anyway, you know, Turley has been making his case, and I think the essence of his case, and, you know, feel free to give us a shout and share your thoughts on this. Turley's making the case that this is such a serious thing that you shouldn't be, I mean, he hasn't come out and said this, or if he did, I missed it. There have been times that we've been going in and out of breaks and things where I've missed a few words. But he's saying that this is not something that we should do quickly. We're talking about removing the duly elected president of the United States from office. It has literally, I mean, well, the impeachment has happened, you know, twice before, but the actual removal, now that would be the trial in the Senate, has not ever succeeded. And this is the first step in that process. And so he's saying, you know, build a stronger case, build a tighter case. And I've been saying for some time, and not, you know, in a huge outspoken way, I haven't written any op-eds about it, I haven't ranted about it at length on this program, but I have been saying for some time that I think that the Democrats make a mistake when they think, you know, when they argue that we need to get this done because there's an election coming and we don't want it to overlap with the election and we don't want it to look like we're trying to influence the election. I think the Democrats should be saying, we're going to do what's right. And this man has committed numerous crimes. When he directed his lawyer to pay off a porn star and a Playboy bunny so that they would not go to the press about his having affairs with them weeks before the election. That was a crime. The Federal Election Commission could prosecute him for that. Now they won't because they've been paralyzed because he's refused to put new members on the commission, so they can't have a quorum, so they literally can't even have a meeting right now, the Federal Election Commission. So there is no cop on the beat for this election. But Congress could hold him accountable for that. The Emoluments Clause. There's two Emoluments Clause. One says that the president, when he's president, shall get a salary, and that's the only compensation he may receive from government. But in fact, he's receiving all kinds of compensation from government by having government officials stay in his hotels and having the U.S. Air Force, stop outside one of his hotels in Scotland and supporting the airport that supports his hotel, which was otherwise scheduled to close down. For example, I mean, just as a starting point, he's been accused credibly of about 20 women of sexual assault and rape. And some of those are still slowly moving through the courts. Whether that should be part of an impeachment hearing or not, you know, I suppose is debatable. But look at what they went after Bill Clinton on. I mean, it started out with Paula Jones. Obviously it started with Whitewater, which was financial corruption. And then it turned out that Bill Clinton had lost $30,000 on that deal. So then they went to, well, maybe Hillary Clinton was a crooked lawyer and they couldn't find her papers from the Rose Law Firm. And that became a big deal. And then, oh, Hillary fired somebody from the travel office. I mean, that was all the let's trash a strong woman in the White House because Bill Clinton put Hillary Clinton in charge of coming up with a national health care program, you'll recall, which is what made the Republicans go nuts. But ultimately, they ended up impeaching Bill Clinton for lying about whether he had private consensual sex with another adult in the White House, which I think for most Americans was pretty thin stuff. Although Jonathan Turley was all in favor of impeaching Bill Clinton for that. So I don't know how much Turley's side gig on Fox News is influencing his judgment, or if he's just always been a partisan Republican, essentially. I don't even want to call it a conservative. Anyhow, let's pick up some of your phone calls. There's a lot to talk about here, and there's a lot going on here. Mark in Laguna Beach, California. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, first I want to thank you, Tom Martin, for being an incredible historian. You rattle my cage, and you make me search for answers in history.
Cool.
Because history is what builds our future.
Yep.
In eighth grade, we had to get out of eighth grade by passing the Constitution test.
That's great.
It's what we base our whole democratic society on. In this case of the impeachment, I do agree with you. It's going a little bit too fast. And I think that Lindsey Graham is concerned about it because the president can't keep his mouth shut. And each day they get more information, it seems like, to put into the impeachment.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham has now come out and said maybe we should just slap his hand, actually criticize him, censure him, have a resolution of censure. By the way, the Democrats proposed the same thing for Bill Clinton. And the Republicans said, no, we're going to go ahead and impeach him. So anyhow, back to you, Mark.
The Republicans got to remember, Biden's not on trial here. We're talking about a president. Don't waste your time and your energy on bringing up Biden.
This was the whole point. I mean, that's what started this, was Donald Trump figured that Joe Biden was going to be the Democratic nominee. Polls still indicate that that's the most likely case. We'll see. And so he wanted to dirty up Joe Biden in the same way that he had dirtied up Hillary Clinton before the election, was claiming that she was physically ill, that she was mentally ill, that she was corrupt with regard to her emails, and she was corrupt with regard to Libya and all these other things. That's what the Republicans are going to try and make this about. They're going to continue to try and make this about that. And I agree that Hunter Biden never should have been on that board, and it looks bad. But the Republicans are twisting the timeline around and the events in a way that fits their narrative, but is not actually factual. And that's what's really mind-boggling to me, is that they're willing to just sit there and lie through their teeth. Mark, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Paul in Woodinville, Washington. Hey, Paul, your thoughts.
I want to say something about Hunter Biden, but I don't want to get waylaid with him because I disagree with you about that.
Okay, go for it.
To say that Hunter Biden, it looks bad, Tom, is subscribing not to misinformation, but to no information. And this is kind of like saying, that sweater makes me look fat. Well, don't blame the sweater. No, it's your fat that makes you look fat, okay? Hunter Biden was on that board for a couple of reasons. Number one, and you've had Kirk Eichenwald on your show that said he worked for Burisma as a lawyer.
Right.
Now, he doesn't need to know all about fossil fuel energies to work as a corporate lawyer in international business.
No, I understand that. And Burisma also put on their board the former president of Poland, who has a sterling reputation. And they were doing this as a way of trying to clean up their own reputation. I get all that.
Right.
And I've said all that over and over again. But still, I think that either Hunter Biden shouldn't have been on the board, or Joe Biden shouldn't have been the guy that Obama chose to be the point man to try to take down the head prosecutor in Ukraine because he was corrupt. I mean, Biden messing in Ukraine when his son is working on the board of an oligarch-owned Ukrainian gas company looks bad, Paul. You can't deny that.
Another reason he was on the board, actually the primary reason, is that he formed a capital investment group of people in Washington, D.C., and he invested in the company. That's one of the best ways to get it instated onto a board. That's a classic way.
Sure.
Become an investor.
But there was this agreement in the Biden family that Joe wouldn't talk business with his sons and they wouldn't talk business with him, so that they could always claim that neither of us are influenced by each other. That, in my opinion, was a huge mistake. And Joe Biden should have sat down with Hunter and said, or with Barack Obama, and said either, you don't serve on that board because there's big stuff coming down the road with regard to Ukraine. They're having a conflict with Russia, and it's going to spill over, and it's going to be involved with our administration. Either A, that, or B, when Obama said, Joe, you got to go over there and get that prosecutor fired because, we need to clean this country up. Joe should have said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. My son's on the board of one of their companies.
Okay, fair enough, but let's admit that it doesn't
look anywhere. I'm talking politics.
Words.
I'm not talking legal. I'm talking politics. Yeah.
I get it, but I would say it doesn't look any worse than Russia owning 40% of an aluminum plant in Kentucky, right? So
or a Saudi prince owning 7% of Fox News.
Okay, fair enough. I'll concede that. But let me get to Turley's analysis and what I disagree with.
Thank you.
He had some inconsistencies. So the first thing, he wanted to parse the word bribery. And then on the one hand say the Supreme Court has defined bribery, and this, what you're doing here, doesn't fit that definition. The first thing is that the sentence in Article 2, Section 4 says treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So whether it's too broad or too narrow, and the Congress doesn't have a role in defining that, is nonsense, because other high crimes and misdemeanors being smaller crimes.
Right.
So if in other words, what he's saying is that, well, you're sick, but that's not cancer, right? Well,
Yeah, Turley is straining at gnats. I'll give you that. And okay, I agree with
so
that.
But at the same time, let's go back to the Richard Nixon case. He said Richard Nixon had to go to court. He lost in court. But the principle is here, when the Supreme Court makes a decision, it is kind of like an amendment to the Constitution, or it defines the Constitution in some way.
Right.
So on the one hand, Turley says that bribery's been defined, so that's all done with. At the same time, he's saying that, well, since Nixon went to court and was ordered to turn over the tapes, well, then now it's a one-off.
Let me boil this down a little bit, Paul. In the case of Nixon, the Supreme Court said, you, Mr. President, you have to turn over these records to Congress because they're conducting an impeachment inquiry and they have the legitimate basis for it. And Nixon said, okay, I'll do that. The Supreme Court said to Bill Clinton, you have to testify in the civil case, even though you're president, because you got a subpoena. And Clinton said, okay, I'll do it. And then Turley says, but Trump can obstruct Congress by, as Nixon tried to do, refusing to turn anything over to Congress, and he can refuse to testify, unlike Bill Clinton. Trump can block all this stuff, and because Trump has blocked all this information, we don't know yet exactly what happened, because we haven't heard the testimony, for example, of Trump's lawyer, Don McGahn. We haven't heard the testimony of his director of the Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney. We haven't heard the testimony of the vice president, Mike Pence, and because Trump ordered them not to, but because we haven't heard their testimony, we can't impeach him. And it's completely circular logic. Is that the point you're making,
right,
Paul?
Yes, because on the one hand, Supreme Court decision said precedent, and on the other hand, they don't. That's exactly what you said.
That's what Turley is saying.
Left, yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, you're explaining that. I'm sorry. And the last thing is that there's a law here that's been violated, and that is another Richard Nixon-era thing. It's the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974, which Richard Nixon signed into law just weeks after he lost in the Supreme Court on this very issue of not having to spend all the money Congress appropriated. And that law says that if you don't tell Congress that you're not spending the money, it's against the law.
Right. And that should be an article of impeachment. That should be a separate article of impeachment, in my opinion. That should be what they're debating this morning, but it's not, unfortunately. Paul, thank you. Thank you for the call. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you couldn't sleep because of an uncomfortable mattress, you'd buy a new one, right? So why do you keep sitting in the same uncomfortable office chair day after day? It's time for you to give yourself or a loved one the gift of comfort and productivity by upgrading to an X chair. With patented dynamic variable lumbar support, you will appreciate the X chair difference the very first time you sit down in one. Make an investment with a guaranteed return this year. Improve your comfort and productivity with the world's finest office chair, the X chair. Your body and your bottom line will thank you. X-Chair is on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairtom.com now. That's the letter X-Chair, T-H-O-M.com, or call 1-844-4-X-Chair. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairtom.com now and use the code XWheels for free X-Blade wheel casters. That's xchairtom.com. xchairtom.com. Okay, Kim in Port Huron, Michigan. Hey, Kim, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's up?
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hey.
I need your advice. I need to pick your brain.
Okay.
A story came out from Robert Reich, and Jill Winebanks agreed with it, that if the House impeaches the president, he can't be pardoned.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you know, in fact, the pardon power, I was looking for my constitution here, the pardon power that is in Article 2 says explicitly, here it is right here. This is Article 2, Section 2. It's the part that says the president is the commander-in-chief. He may require the opinion in writing of the principal officer of each executive department. In other words, he can have a cabinet. And then it says he shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. And so, you know, you can read that a couple of different ways. And I had historically read that as saying that he can't impeach, he can't pardon himself, or he can't pardon witnesses against him in an impeachment hearing. But I think that the most vivid read of it, and again, it hasn't been adjudicated, so nobody knows for sure exactly what it means, but I think that probably what the founder's intent was, and it'd be interesting to go back and read Madison's notes on this, was that the vice president, after the president has been impeached, the vice president can't pardon him.
Yes. I think that was the fear. Is that why they're rushing this?
No, I think they're rushing this because they're concerned about the election. Democrats, they worry about things too much. You know, they don't want people to think that they're doing this because of the election. They don't want it to spill over into the election. And then, of course, you've got several members of the United States Senate who will sit for the trial who are running for president. And if one of those members of the Senate, now we just lost one, but you've got Bernie Sanders, you've got Elizabeth Warren, you've got Cory Booker, they're all senators. And they're running for president.
I like that they suggested she could be attorney general.
She'd make a hell of an attorney general. She'd make
Wouldn't
a
very, she?
Yeah, she really would. Kamala
I love
Harris.
Her.
Yes, Kamala Harris for AG. Thank you, Kim. Good to hear from you. Zoe in Encino, California. Hey, Zoe, what's up?
Here we go again. It's more pandering of the audience.
Right.
It's so interesting when the Republicans accuse the Dems as pandering to the audience. What it reminds me of is when I was in grade school or in high school, and the professor or college, whatever, was talking about a subject. And then there were always these guys in the audience that would just try to change the subject, go off on tangents, not really following the flow of the information that's being shared with the students.
Right.
That's what it feels like when watching.
That's absolutely what they're doing. I mean, they tried to change the subject, and they also tried to create such a boring spectacle, you know, with all these votes early on that people would tune away. That people would say, oh, I don't want to hear that. I'll go listen to music or something.
Time for a coffee break.
There you go. Exactly. Zoe, thank you very much for the call. So I think you pretty much know my thoughts on this whole impeachment thing, particularly after hearing Jonathan Turley speak. I'm going with what has been my kind of gut instinct all along, which is that they really should come up with 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 specific articles of impeachment. They need to lay out the full breadth of the criminality of this administration. And if it takes 6 months to do it, so be it. We've heard from the Intelligence Committee. That had to do with Ukraine. We have not yet heard from, you know, the House Oversight Committee, which is one of the impeachment hearings. I would like to hear from Ways and Means. You know, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee is the only person that the law says can see the president's tax returns. And I don't know if you saw the report, but the second IRS whistleblower who says that there are political appointees in the Internal Revenue Service who are messing with Trump's tax returns to basically hide them, who are interfering in the process to protect Donald Trump. That second whistleblower was warned by the administration that they could be breaking the law by being a whistleblower, and they backed off. They said, okay, I'm not going to testify. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I withdraw my complaint. I'm going to shut up and go away. So the cover-up continues. The Trump administration is in, like, cover-up mode like nobody's business. Dave in Stillicum, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, great show as usual.
Thank
Mental
you.
Floss. Thank
yeah,
you. Listen, yeah, you're right. As bad as the extortion of Zelensky and the Ukrainians are, it's just too narrow a focus. Most people just don't give a rip about quids pro quo, but do would care about Trump's other long list of serious crimes. So what I've been telling my friends is that call your representatives and tell them, ask them to please expand the focus. if you know the phone number of your representative, please call her or him. If you
here's the phone number that reaches all of them, 202-225-3121. That's the switchboard.
Are you sure it's 225 or is it 224?
It's both numbers. 225 okay. used to be the Senate, 224 used to be the House. Now both of them go to one switchboard and they go out from there. So you can call any member of Congress from either number.
Great. So say that number one more time and urge your listeners to please call.
Yeah, there you go. 202-225-3121 or 224-3121 if you get a busy signal. Yeah, excellent point. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Paul in Glenside, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hi, Tom. President Trump and the Republican Party have campaigned on the integrity of the borders of the United States as being inviolable and as being a point of protection where people from outside of the country can't cross our border illegally. People from foreign nations. What's that?
Because we can't trust them.
But we can trust the president
of Ukraine.
Well, here's the point. These are people who've created a police force of 40,000 ICE, you know, immigration control enforcement officers to stop the breach of our borders by someone like a young mother and a baby escaping rape and murder from drug gangs in Central America. Yet President Trump invites the police apparatus and the leader of a foreign power to investigate, to prosecute a sitting vice president at the time, you know, of the so-called corruption accusation. How can he build a wall to prevent people from simply walking over the Mexican border, at the same time invite a foreign leader and his police apparatus to prosecute an American leader who was democratically elected in the form of Vice President Biden?
Yeah, it's an excellent point, Paul.
How can he be for that?
It's an excellent point. He's basically trying to have it both ways. And by the way, going into the last break, I said it's the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's the House Judiciary Committee. This is all happening in the House of Representatives. Paul, thank you for the call. That's one of many, what would you call them, internal contradictions that are in the Republicans' defense of Donald Trump. By the way, my piece on why the Republicans are not breaking ranks around Trump just went up on a couple of other websites. I think it just went up on Alternet, but it's over at Truth Dig as well and LA Progressive. And the essence of it is I'm saying that the Republicans are holding with Trump because the billionaires are holding with Trump. Trump is one of them. He's an oligarch himself, and the other American oligarchs are all in favor of what he's doing. He's selling off public lands. He's polluting the air. He's cutting back on protections for consumers. He's even deregulating banksters. Guys, remember when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster service, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Fred in Washington, D.C. Hey, Fred, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I've been trying to reach you for some time. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
You are on point. I got a simple statement to say that will clear this whole thing up.
Okay.
I don't want to hear any more about the transcript. I want to hear the tape. Release the tape.
Yeah, good point.
Unredacted. That would clear everything up.
Good point, because that transcript has ellipses in it. It's got redactions, you know. It's a 30-minute conversation.
Exactly,
there's only 9 minutes of transcript there.
And the tape is what, 20 minutes?
30.
The phone call is...
Yeah, either 20. Yeah, maybe it's 20, but it's twice as long as the transcript, because it's not really a transcript. It's what's called a call note. Yeah, excellent point, Fred. Excellent point. Thank you very much for calling and making it. Patrick in West Los Angeles, California. Hey, Patrick, what's up?
Oh, hey, Tom. Thanks for being here. Jabba the Hutt, a.k.a. the Moscow Mule, and all of his minions essentially have brought in Hunter Biden into this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a gigantic mistake of the Democrats not to include other elements in the impeachment, especially the Emoluments Act, really as a way to spotlight Ivanka Trump. That needs to be brought in.
Oh, well, there's another thing that he could be impeached for, and that is giving security clearances to people who have clear conflicts that are so bad that the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, everybody is saying, do not give Jared a security clearance. Do not give Ivanka a security clearance. And they're dancing all around the world, and they're using unsecure phones. I mean, another thing they could go after, and you know they would go after Obama, is using an unsecure phone in the White House to conduct, international business. I mean, there's just so many things. Thanks, Patrick.
There's so many things, but they're spotlighting Hunter Biden. We need to spotlight Ivanka Trump, because that essentially would really lessen their argument. I mean, in reality, there's no real argument because, it doesn't look good, but it wasn't a crime. It wasn't really close to a crime. But in this case, what she has been doing and what he has been doing on behalf of her was, in fact, a crime. The Emoluments Act. I mean...
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's specifically a crime that, for example, Ivanka Trump is getting patents from China while her daddy's the president. That certainly looks bad, because Trump himself isn't getting them. But
in the eyes of the Constitution, for the purposes of impeachment, it's a crime. Essentially, it's a de facto crime.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thank you very much, Patrick. Good talking to you. It looks like they're meeting again, so we'll go right back to the hearings in just a moment. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here, right with you. This is the House Judiciary Committee, and Jim Sensenbrenner is speaking right now.
It was saying, son of a bleep, that's what happened in 6 hours. Now, the Republicans who were in charge of Congress at the time Biden made that comment, we did not tie
Sensenbrenner, by the way, is a Republican from Wisconsin.
For 3 months and going on four now, wrapping everybody in this town around the axelrod. We continued attempting to do the public's business. That's not what's happening here. And I think the American public are getting a little bit sick and tired of impeachment, 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 when they know that less than a year from now, they will be able to determine whether Donald Trump stays in office or somebody else will be elected. I take this responsibility extremely seriously. It is an awesome and very grave responsibility, and it is not one that should be done lightly. It is not one that should be done quickly, and is not one without examining all of the evidence, which is what was done in the Nixon impeachment and what was done largely by Kenneth Starr in the Clinton impeachment. Now, I'd like to ask you, Professor Turley, because your mind is the only one of the four of you up there that doesn't seem to have it made up before you walked into the door. Isn't there a difference between saying, quote, do me a favor, and quote, son of a bleep, that's what happened in 6 hours' time?
Grammatically, yes. Constitutionally, it really depends on the context. I think your point is a good one in the sense that we have to determine from the transcript and hopefully from other witnesses whether this statement was part of an actual quid pro quo. I guess the threshold question is, if the president said, I'd like you to do these investigations, and by the way, I don't group them together. In my testimony, I distinguish between the request for investigations into 2016 from the investigation of the Bidens. But it is an issue of order, the magnitude of the of order constitutionally. If you ask, I'd like to see you do this, as opposed to I have a quid pro quo. You either do this or you don't get military aid.
Thank you. The gentleman has expired. The gentlelady from Texas, Ms. Jackson Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for yielding. Professor Gerhardt said, if what we are talking about today is not impeachable, then
this is Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, a Democrat.
I'm reminded of my time on the House Judiciary Committee during the 1990s impeachment and as well a number of federal judges. I was guided then not only by the facts, but by the Constitution and the duty to serve this nation. I believe, as we greet you today, that we are charged with a sober and somber responsibility. So, Professor Carlin, I'd like you to look at the intelligence volume where hundreds of documents are behind that in the Mueller report. Professor Carlin, you studied the record. Do you think it is, quote, wafer thin? And can you remark on the strength of the record before us?
So obviously it's not wafer thin. And the strength of the record is not just in the July 25th call. I think the way you need to ask about this is, how does it fit into the pattern of behavior by the president? Because what you're really doing is you're drawing inferences here. This is about circumstantial evidence as well as direct evidence. That is, you're trying to infer, did the president ask for a political favor? And I think this record supports the inference that he did.
What comparisons, Professor Carlin, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
Thank you. The founding father, George Mason, asked, shall any man be above justice? And Alexander Hamilton wrote that high crimes and misdemeanors mean the abuse or violation of some public trust. As we move quickly, Professor Feldman, you have previously testified that the president has abused his power. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think is the most compelling evidence in this impeachment inquiry that would lead you to that?
The phone call itself of July 25th is extraordinarily clear to my mind in that we hear the president asking for a favor that's clearly of personal benefit rather than acting on behalf of the interests of the nation. And then further down the road, we have more evidence, which tends to give the context and to support the explanation for what happened.
Professor Carlin, how does such abuse affect our democratic systems?
Having foreign interference in our election means that we are less free. It is less we, the people, who are determining who's the next winner than it is a foreign government.
I think it is fair to say that the president's actions are unprecedented. But what also strikes me is how many Republicans and Democrats believe that his conduct was wrong.
It is improper for the president of the United States to demand a foreign government, investigate a U.S. citizen and a political opponent.
In light of the fact that the president asked for an investigation and then only when he was caught released the military aid, is there still a need for impeachment?
Yes, ma'am. Impeachment is complete when the president abuses his office, and he abuses his office by attempting to abuse his office. There's no distinction there between trying to do it and succeeding in doing it, and that's especially true if you only stop because you got caught.
Over 70% of the American people believe, as I said, what the president did was wrong. We have a solemn responsibility to address that, and as well, our fidelity to our oath and our duty. I'm reminded of the men and women who serve in the United States military, and I'm reminded of my three uncles who served in World War II. I can't imagine them being on the battlefield, needing arms and food. And the general says, do me a favor. We know that general would not say, do me a favor. And so in this instance, the American people deserve unfettered leadership, and it is our duty to fairly assess the facts and the Constitution. I yield back my time.
General Lady yields back. Mr. Chabot is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's pretty clear to me.
So that was Sheila Jackson Lee, and you know, we're now on to the Republicans, and we just have 10 seconds left in the show. So, you know, the thing that really strikes me is how Jonathan Turley was twisting. Basically, what he was saying was, because Trump is refusing to let Congress see records or talk to witnesses, there's not enough evidence to impeach him. That was Jonathan Turley's argument in a nutshell. It's mind-boggling. I mean, it's just it may play on Fox News. It'll be real interesting to see how it plays with the rest of the American public. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll continue our conversation, you know, about what's going on here and everything else. Same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. If you have opinions on impeachment, particularly if you want to talk to a Republican who might be representing you, the number for the congressional switchboard is 202-224-3121. And don't forget, get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Go ahead, Carl. I'm listening.
Talk dirty to me.
Staph, Salmonella, E. coli, influenza.
Wait, not that kind of dirty.
Do you realize you just took me to the toilet and kept wiping in between tweets? No wonder 1 in 6 phones contain fecal matter.
Gross.
Whatever your hands touch, I touch. I'm covered in filth. It's enough to make both of us sick. Please, can you get me a phone soap?
Phone soap?
Phone soap safely kills 99.99% of all those germs with clinically proven UV light. It won't damage my screen like liquids or chemicals.
Good, because you're all I've got.
That's so sweet, Carl.
Phone soap is trusted and used by healthcare professionals and hospitals. It fits phones of all sizes. Phone soap makes the perfect holiday gift. Go to phonesoap.com. Use code TOM to save 20% off and receive free shipping. That's phonesoap.com. Use code TOM. Go to phonesoap.com and use code THOM to save 20% off today.